Welcome to the Dr. John Day Show, a cardiologist's guide to real food, real living, and real happiness. Are you struggling with losing weight, fatigue, depression, or conditions that have you on medications? Is your health good, but heart disease or cancer run in your family? Most medical conditions are reversible or preventable. There is a better way to live. Let Dr. Day help you to feel younger today.
Hi, this is Dr. John Day. I have a quick disclosure my lawyer wants me to do before we start the show. On this show, I share general information, not medical advice. I am not your doctor. And do not self-diagnose or treat based on anything you hear on this show. Now that we're done with the disclosure, let's get started. Hello, this is Dr. John Day, and welcome to the Dr. John Day Show. Today is podcast number 13. How to get rid of atrial fibrillation once and for all. Do you or someone you love suffer from atrial fibrillation, also known as AFib? If so, you are not alone. Studies show that 1 in 4 Americans will have at least one episode of atrial fibrillation at some point during their lives. Many of my patients feel horrible when AFib strikes. Their hearts will race chaotically, and they often feel short of breath, fatigued, dizzy, lightheaded, or they may even have chest pain. The effects of AFib can be devastating. AFib is one of the major causes of stroke. It can also put people on a number of different medications, all with serious side effects. This is something you definitely want to avoid, if possible. If you are like most patients with this condition, you've already been put on a heavy-duty blood thinner for life. You may also be on a medication to slow your heart down or to hold you in rhythm. Do you really want to live this way for the rest of your life? There are other options. If aggressive lifestyle changes are made early enough, the atrial fibrillation may completely go into remission. This is something that I've seen many times with my patients over the years. You can drive AFib into remission. For others, the AFib attacks may significantly decrease by making the right lifestyle changes. Sometimes, lifestyle changes alone may not be enough. If this is the case, it's not all lost. These lifestyle changes will double your chances of successfully beating AFib with a minimally invasive procedure called an atrial fibrillation ablation, or AFib ablation. If we are going to beat AFib, we have to know everything that may be contributing to this condition. If we can aggressively attack each one of these 10 items early enough, there's an excellent chance that you can get rid of the AFib once and for all. So, jumping right in. Number one, get rid of high blood pressure. High blood pressure is one of the main causes of atrial fibrillation. It puts a big strain on the heart, which can cause the lower chambers of the heart to thicken and the upper chambers of the heart to enlarge. If you have high blood pressure, guess what? You're not alone. Studies show that half of all Americans have a blood pressure above the goal of 120 over 80, as established by the American Heart Association. As with AFib, if simple lifestyle changes are made early enough, high blood pressure may also be totally reversible. I have seen this many times with my patients. In fact, after just a few weeks of making some major lifestyle changes, under the direction of their physicians, they can get off of their high blood pressure medications. I personally have dropped my blood pressure, which in some cases could go as high as 150 over 90, down to where it typically runs now, which is about 110 over 70, without any medications. For more information on how to reverse your high blood pressure, please read my blog article. It's how to get off your high blood pressure medications with these 8 steps. That's blog number 12. Until you can reverse your high blood pressure with lifestyle modification, you may need to work with your physician on getting this under control. For my patients with AFib, I tend to be aggressive on getting the blood pressure under control. I usually try to shoot for a target of less than 135 over 85. Number two, reverse your biologic age. Unfortunately, getting older is a big risk factor for developing AFib. Atrial fibrillation just represents wear and tear on the heart over time. It is aging of the heart. Even though you may be getting older year by year, which is your chronological age, you can reverse your biologic age now. Your biologic age can be anywhere from 10 to 20 years lower than how old or your chronologic age. You can regain your youth. You can feel great. You can reverse the effects of aging on the heart. You can drive AFib into remission. How can we reverse our biologic age? If you want to learn, please read my blog article, We Can Reverse the Aging Process. Number three, keep stress in check. It seems like we're all stressed out. According to a study from the Everest College, 83% of all Americans are stressed out at work. One study showed that our chronic stress is the equivalent of smoking 5 cigarettes a day. Even if you just think about how stressed you are, it's enough to increase your risk of a heart attack by 27%. When we are stressed out, our bodies release cortisol and adrenaline into the bloodstream. These substances are toxic to the heart if it continues long enough. What can we do to get our stress under control? Make it a priority to do something every day to get your stress levels under control. Whatever it is, whatever you enjoy, find something, do it each day. We will never completely be able to avoid stress. It's part of the human experience. If you find you enjoy reading a book, going for a walk, exercising, yoga, whatever it is for you that reduces your stress, do it and do it each day. Even something as simple as yoga to calm your nerves has been shown to decrease your risk of AFib by 50%. The key is to recognize your stress and do something actively each day to bring it down. In addition to some of these activities that we've talked about that can help reduce stress, getting a good night's sleep or just hanging out with your friends can also help to reduce your stress. For more information on this, please read my article, 7 Ways to Manage Stress. And you can find that on my website, all of these articles I referred to at drjohnday.com. Number four, reduce inflammation. Inflammation is like stress. It can be helpful to the body for very short periods of time. However, when inflammation never turns off, day after day, year after year, it can damage the heart and the rest of the body, and the end game is that it can result in premature aging. It has been recognized for quite some time that inflammation is an important cause of AFib. The good news is that if we can turn off the inflammation for our heart, it can help the rest of our body to recover as well. Did you know that there's actually a simple blood test that your doctor can order to check your inflammation level? This test is called the C-reactive protein, or CRP for short. The goal is to have a CRP of less than 1 milligram per liter. If you can get your CRP levels down to less than 1, you can reduce your risk of AFib. You can reduce your risk of a heart attack. You can reduce your risk of cancer or even Alzheimer's disease. How can we reduce inflammation? Once again, I have a wonderful article, 6 Strategies to Reduce Inflammation and Chronic Pain. That is blog number 6, podcast number 6, if you wanted to refer to that. Number 5, get your weight in line. Did you know that being overweight is one of the biggest causes of AFib today in the United States? A recent study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association by my good friend, Dr. Prash Saunders, showed how important weight loss is in reversing AFib. In this study, if overweight people could just lose 32 pounds, they could reduce their AFib attacks nearly threefold. This is something that I have seen time and time again in my practice. Overweight people with AFib who can lose the weight can often drive their AFib into remission. Number 6, eat the right foods. Did you know that rates of AFib are several times higher in North America than anywhere else in the world? The standard American diet, also called the SAD diet for short, is like pouring gasoline on the AFib fire. The right foods can reverse most of the factors that we've discussed in this article, which are driving AFib. For my AFib patients, I recommend the following as part of their diet. Number 1, get 9 servings of fruits or vegetables every day. Number 2, to have at least 1 serving of nuts or seeds each day. Number 3, have at least 1 serving of legumes each day. What's a legume? We're talking beans or lentils. Last, 2 servings of a low mercury oily fish like salmon weekly. For many of my patients, they just need to learn how to eat vegetables. Vegetables can be the most wonderful tasting food if they're prepared right. These foods can also help to heal our hearts and heal our bodies. To go along with these must-have healing foods, I recommend the following 3 foods be avoided if we're going to try to keep AFib away. Minimize processed or prepared foods. So this goes without saying. Processed foods are just going to get us into trouble. Number 2, minimize animal meat, especially processed meats and red meats. What are processed meats? We're talking hot dogs, sausage, bacon, deli meats. And 3, minimize sugar. And this also includes any foods that behave like sugar in our body, like wheat flour, white rice, potatoes. The goal is to eat real food, to get back to cooking and sharing meals with our friends and families. Number 7, rejuvenating sleep. I can't stress enough how important it is to get rejuvenating sleep if we're really going to beat AFib. For most people, this means getting at least 7 hours of sleep. It also means sleep free from sleep apnea. What is sleep apnea? That's where people stop breathing while sleeping. These big drops in oxygen levels when people are not breathing can lead not only to AFib, but it can also lead to heart attacks, sudden death, heart failure, or high blood pressure. How do you know if you have sleep apnea? Generally, I find that the spouse or sleeping partner can easily make this diagnosis. People with sleep apnea tend to snore like a train, and then they'll stop breathing for 20 or 30 seconds. Fortunately for most people, sleep apnea is totally reversible. It is just another complication of our modern life and being overweight. With weight loss, the sleep apnea usually goes away. You can also tell by your neck size. Most people with sleep apnea will have a neck size of 17 or higher if you're a man, or a neck size of 16 or higher if you're a woman. Lose the weight, get your neck size down, and guess what? The sleep apnea will probably go away. However, until the weight can be lost, I recommend that my patients with sleep apnea get first tested, then treated. Studies show that if you can cut the number of AFib episodes by about 50% just by getting your sleep apnea treated. Number 8, get moving. Did you know that people with the least amount of physical activity are the ones most likely to develop AFib? The key is to get moving. The first thing I recommend for my patients is to get a pedometer. We need a pedometer so that we can be honest with ourselves. Most of us think we're exercising when we may not really be exercising, or we're moving more than we really are. Studies show that just the mere act of tracking the number of steps you take will increase the number of steps that you actually take by 2,500. That's the equivalent of walking more than 1 extra mile a day just by tracking your steps. Just the fact of tracking makes you walk more than a mile a day. What happens if you walk more than a mile a day? Well, that can lead to significant weight loss. In fact, people can lose more than 10 pounds a year just by tracking their steps, not having to do anything else. Sounds simple. We should be doing it. The pedometer is also helpful because, as I mentioned, people tend to overestimate their activity. If you ask the typical American, how many of you get the recommended amount of exercise, about 1 in 3 Americans will say, you know what, hey, I get enough exercise. But if you put a pedometer on these same people, it's not 1 in 3, but really 1 in 20 that's actually getting enough exercise. We've deluded ourselves into thinking that we're moving more than we really are. I have found that in my practice that most of my AFib patients only get 2,000 to 3,000 steps a day. That's about the same number of steps that a typical office worker in the United States gets. The average American, though, overall gets about 5,000 steps a day. The average European, where AFib is not as common, gets about 10,000 steps a day. The goal, bare minimum, is to get at least 10,000 steps a day. While this may seem hard to achieve, most of my patients can easily get to this goal if they put their minds to it. You have to be creative. Can you walk somewhere instead of driving? Can you add in an evening walk after dinner? Can you go on a walk at lunchtime? The possibilities are really endless. In addition to the 10,000 steps daily, I recommend at least 30 minutes of moderate intensity activity each day. If you're going to do high intensity activity, you can cut it in half to just 15 minutes a day. But you have to do something, and that's the bare minimum. I'm often asked, what exercises should I do? My answer is simple. Do what you enjoy. Anything counts. Gardening, dancing, skiing, hiking. They're all great. The most important thing is that you are consistent and do something each day. I do recommend varying your daily exercise to keep it fun, to work different muscle groups, and to prevent overuse injuries. Depending on which you choose to do, you may also need to incorporate a couple of days of strength training into your own routine. Number 9, get rid of the vices. Tobacco, alcohol, and any stimulants, including caffeine, can be a big trigger for AFib. Did you know that there is even a condition called holiday heart? This is where someone drinks a lot of alcohol and then goes into AFib. For many of my patients, just getting rid of these vices can eliminate AFib episodes. Other stimulant medications, including Sudafed, Ritalin, or other attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or ADHD medications, can also be a trigger for AFib. Number 10, we're now to number 10. When all else fails, get it ablated. For most of my patients, aggressive lifestyle modification can drive their AFib into remission or at least dramatically reduce it so it's not bothering them so much. Unfortunately, there will always be cases where they just don't seem to resolve with lifestyle modification. What can you do in these cases? For these patients, blood thinners, medications to slow the heart, and rhythm-controlling medications are often prescribed. Unfortunately for most patients, these rhythm drugs work for maybe a couple of years at most. When medications are no longer effective in controlling the symptoms of atrial fibrillation, an ablation is the next step, particularly in those patients who have symptoms. And this is also an excellent option for patients who have a lot of side effects from the medications or, you know, they just don't want to be on these medications for life. Fortunately, the lifestyle changes we've discussed in this article can double the chances of a successful ablation procedure if an ablation is ultimately required to control the symptoms of atrial fibrillation. With an ablation, well, you may be asking, what is an ablation? Well, with an ablation, we go into the heart through an IV in the leg and sometimes in the neck, map out where the AFib's coming from in the heart, and then ablate or cauterize these areas. The entire procedure takes about 3, maybe 4 hours, and our patients typically will spend the night in the hospital following the procedure. The following day, patients will typically go home with just a Band-Aid over where we went in. I personally have performed nearly 4,000 of these AFib ablation procedures. What I found, both in my experience and going around the country and lecturing at lots of places and reviewing the medical literature, is that in experienced hands, most patients can ultimately be free from their AFib. Certainly, there are risks associated with this procedure. Please discuss these risks with your physician. But most of these risks can be minimized or avoided by people or physicians who are very experienced in performing these procedures at experienced centers. So please discuss the risks, benefits, and alternatives of AFib ablation with your physician. What have you found? Is there anybody in your life that you know of that has AFib? And what are they doing to control it, or what are you doing? What have you found that's worked? Please go onto my website, drjohnday.com. Leave me your comments. They're very helpful for others. Share this article with others that you know of that may have AFib. And please go onto iTunes and rate this podcast so that others can find this and that we can get our message out to more people. There is indeed a better way to live. And by getting this message out, we can help others to better take care of themselves in this often difficult to navigate modern life. So thanks for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed this, and I will see you with our next episode. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. John Day Show. Now is the time for you to live better. Go to drjohnday.com to sign up for Dr. Day's newsletter, daily success tools, and more. It's never too late to change.